Sermon tonight comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's on page 677 in your pew Bible. Ecclesiastes 12, page 677. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Pray with me. Father, bless us now as we come and as we sit at your feet, as we listen to you. Please give us wisdom and instruction. Please help us and draw us close to yourself. Please warm our hearts with your light. Please enlighten our minds with your word. And please be glorified as we learn to love and to think in accordance with reality, in accordance with eternal reality, in accordance with the reality of your Son, Jesus Christ, our prophet, our priest, and our king. Vanity of vanities. Emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. Futility, worthlessness. All of us who have had the task of keeping a room clean have learned about vanity, magnified even more if you've been responsible for keeping an entire house clean. Vanity of vanities, emptiness, worthlessness. Talking to my father about saving money, he just described every time we thought we got ahead, something would happen. Vanity of vanities, emptiness, emptiness. Futility, futility, striving for strength or training for exercise, cycles of injury, vanity of vanities, futility, futility. All of our labors, all of our efforts in this world keep falling short. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 describes that the world itself has been subjected to futility, vanity. Emptiness. We live in a broken world that fails to make progress. If you are like me, you find the same failures in your own heart. As you would strive to live without sin, as you would strive to pursue Christ and find Him, as you would strive to live that life that glorifies the Lord, don't you find yourself tripping again and again? And again, as we come along and as we look at the emptiness and as you and I can look at these passages, and I invite you to see these passages as what it looks like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To see the shadows in the darkness, to see the stains from the fall. Here we look and we see what it's like to look at the world without and apart from Christ Jesus. But I invite you to another place as well as we move along. One day as I was running in McConnell's Mill, running the trails, I tripped. And thankfully I tucked and I rolled. And as I lay there and I looked up, I saw the most beautiful sky and the most beautiful trees silhouetted by the sky. And I realized if I had not fallen, I would never have seen that beauty. I invite you to such a place in your stumbling, to look up when you stumble, to see the blessedness of Psalm 32, the blessedness of the forgiveness of sin, the blessedness of being received, all of your sins washed away, being rescued and brought to the place where we are freed from the vanity and the futility, freed from the place of striving, because God's love in his face shines upon you, not because we've pulled it off, not because we never stumble, not because we keep our room clean or our house clean, but because he loves us in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is to move forward. This is to share in Christ's glory, apart from the place of vanity, having moved from darkness to light. The call tonight is to share in Christ's glory. Our first step is remember the author and perfecter of your faith. Verse 1, Solomon says it this way: also remember your creator in the days of your youth. We see this beautiful old man on the throne, I expect with a long wavy beard as he sat there, a luxurious robe going down over the steps. His throne is pictured in the scripture as he has these 12 steps going up with golden lions on each side. Even his throne had golden lions that he rested his arms on. This beautiful old man there, and he leans out and he whispers to you, remember your creator. In your youth, remember your creator as you are young. Remember your creator even now. And I invite you to that place where we are focusing on him, when we are thinking of him, the one who knit you together with love in your mother's womb, the one who knows you with that much intimacy, the one who created you as his workmanship for good works that he prepared beforehand that you could walk in them. The one who has ordained the boundaries of your habitation and the length of your days as described in Acts 17:26. The reality of your life, the carefulness by which you have been made your creator, and not just your physical creator, but your spiritual recreator as well. As you who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have indeed been born again. That passage from Hebrews 12:2 describes Christ as the author of your faith, the originator, the creator, the alpha of your faith. Remember him, it says, the author and the perfecter of your faith. We keep coming together back to that idea that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. So as we would be looking at the shadows of life, and Solomon lays out all these ugly pictures of brokenness and of ending and coming to the place where we even turn to dust, you and I do not lay down in the valley of the shadow of death. But you and I in Christ, we follow the good shepherd through it. We follow him in light. We follow him in glory. So our second step is do not lose heart in shadow. We see these pictures of shadow in verse 1. Pictures of sorrow and of regret. We see the pictures of clouds and rain in verse 2. We know that very well here in Pennsylvania. How often do we each start to slip into depression? A good friend of mine moved from Colorado to Pittsburgh for seminary. And one day he came to me and he said, How long until I see the sky again? How long till I see the sun again? A sadness and a loneliness and a depression that comes from the place of just being in shadow. We see the heaviness and the weight in verse 3 of the fear that is there. We see economy lapsing in verse 4, a picture of poverty. We see in verse 4 also the sad, sad song sung, the mourning in the dirge of death. We see people submitted then in verse 5 to superstition and fear. We see Solomon in his old age as he references the caperberry, this herb and medicines can no longer heal me or make me well. I'm at the end. You and I, though, when we find ourselves even at the end of our physical life, we're not undone. When all hope is lost of physical healing, we are not undone. When our arms no longer give us their strength, when our eyes no longer see the light, we are not undone. When our ears grow dull, we are not undone. We come to that place and we recognize ourselves and we see ourselves as that seed that is being planted and must die, but will grow again into something more beautiful and something more glorious. This is all picture of shadow and sorrow as he lays it out. Even the dying grasshopper dragging itself along on the ground. The pot broken by the well. The lost hope. But I remind you that we are called in the scripture not the children of shadow, but we have been transitioned from shadow to light. As Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. We understand from scripture that when Jesus Christ stepped into the world, he shone in such a way, he described himself even as the light of men. The light that men can enjoy. The light that men can receive. The light that mankind can embrace to the place where we are called the light of the world in Matthew 5:14, as we would reflect his glory. We understand this light that we reflect is that same light from Numbers 6:25. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. That light shines on you. And when you respond to that light in accordance with love, in accordance with truth, love for your heavenly Father and a pure love for one another, we reflect that glory. You shine with the light of God's love. We love because he first loved us. We do not lose heart in shadow, even in Pennsylvania. We do not lose heart under the clouds and in the rain, in the sorrows, in the darkness. We understand from Proverbs 4:18 that he will bring about our light as the noonday. Again, Psalm 37, which we just sang. We admonished, we instructed one another, we spurred each other on in this love and in this good deed. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Can you give up hope in that light? Can you give up hope with that truth being projected to you and sung upon you? As you and I are surrounded by songs of deliverance, songs of victory, songs of grace, as the very body of Christ would sing over us and bless us. So we come and we stand in this light, but we stand in this light in Christ, who is the light of the world and who is our light. Our third step is remember your relationships with Jesus. Verses 6 and 7. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Where is the hope and where is the encouragement? We remember Christ as the prophet. John 6:33. Jesus says, the words I give to you are spirit and life. You find yourself bogged down in your flesh. Do you find yourself bogged down in the futility of the world? Jesus keeps saying to us, the words I give you are spirit and life. Do you see that you are never without hope? Without, as long as you have the scripture. You are never without hope. As he continuously speaks to you, you are never without hope as he gives you the words of life, his very breath. Romans 10:17, I remind you of the encouragement. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He continuously speaks to you to encourage you and bless you with faith and with hope by his word, and we need merely to turn to it. We keep enjoying him as our priest, as he is described in Hebrews 7, that priest forever, according to the power of an indestructible life. Verse 25 says, he saves forever those who draw near to God through him, because he always lives to make intercession for them. Hope. Hope. Light that shines in the darkness. Light that will shine in your darkness. As you turn to and as you look to Christ, we see Christ as King as well. In verse 14 in this chapter, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or it is evil. Christ comes as that one who has been given all authority on heaven and earth. Christ comes as that appointed one in Acts 17:30 who will judge the living and the dead. But there's that beautiful hope. That if you trust in Christ, your sins have already been judged. Your sins have been washed away. What was scarlet has been made white as snow. You have been made white as snow. Through and through, loved and received, because Christ covers your sins as you trust in him. And he lives forever, actively making intercession for you. So we come to that place where we are being drawn to him. Hebrews 9:27 says, we die once and then judgment. But guess what? Guess what else he has said? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We do not have the fearful expectation of judgment. We look at Christ, who is our King. Christ has executed the office of king by subduing us to himself, bringing your rebellious, sinful heart to him, to the place where you would love him, the place that you would trust him. And we rejoice in this Christ. We remember him. We remember our relationships with him, our prophet, our priest, our king. Our next step, verse 4, is put on the glory of Christ. We have this beautiful picture of Elia coming out when she thought she was ready for church as a young girl. She had this thing. She started flipping her hair just straight over the side of her head. She had on, I think, a camouflage jeans, a tutu, a Hello Kitty purse, and these high heels. And she turned and just looked all sassy at me as she was ready for church. What are we putting on? How do we look to Christ? What are we putting on? As we trust in Christ, we're putting on Christ. When you trust Christ, you are given his righteousness. You are given his robe. Your heavenly Father looks on you and sees perfection and glory and beauty. And he embraces you as that perfect son. You are perfectly loved in Christ Jesus. We have that perfect Father that we could never find on earth. We have been moved from the dominion of darkness, from that place of vanity of vanities, emptiness, emptiness, futility, failure, and death, to the place of more than conqueror, to the place of wearing the very glory of Christ. And we are told that we share, we gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was for this he called you, through our gospel, that you may gain and share the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus Christ, who shone brighter than the noonday sun when he appeared to Paul, says, "That will be the same of you. Your righteousness will grow more and more and more until you shine like the noonday sun." This is the glory for which you were predestined as you hold on to Christ Jesus. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus described his work, saying, "I have kept the Father's commandments perfectly so that they will all know that I love the Father." A motivation of love. This is why we do what we do. The conclusion, Solomon says, the conclusion when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. What is our shining? Our shining is love. Where is love comprehended or understood or summed up? But in the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In these ways, we walk in the footsteps that Christ has established. We walk in the footsteps of true love for our Creator, the Creator of our bodies, the Creator of the world, the Creator of your faith, the perfecter of your faith, the one who accomplishes all good things concerning you. How blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. How blessed is the one whose transgressions have all been covered. When the flood rises, it will not consume them. But he blesses you. He surrounds you with songs of victory and grace. And afterwards, he receives us into glory. Wear the glory of Christ. Love God. Love your neighbor as he has shown us, as he has taught us. Let's put off our vanity, our emptiness, our futility, and let's wear the glory of Christ. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for all of the good that you have reserved for those who love you. We thank you for giving us hearts to love you, for taking away our hearts of stone and giving us hearts of flesh. We thank you for taking away our old songs, songs of our own worship and our own praise, and giving us new songs, songs of praise to you. We thank you for the good plans that you have for us. We thank you for the good paths that you have laid out for us ahead of time, that we will walk in the light of your gospel, that we will walk in the light of love, and that we have this blessing and this truth that we share in the inheritance of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you will accomplish all the good that concerns us. Please bless us to fall back to this place of hope, encouragement, joy, and light as we stand in your light. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.